This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
What's up? Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. This program here on August 26th is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. We got first show of the 2025 football season under our belts yesterday. Ironed out a couple of kinks. I fixed my lighting for one, which is very, very good. But big program forthcoming here as we gear up for the upcoming campaign. We're going to focus a little bit more on fantasy now that we have an opportunity. This is when you should be doing your fantasy draft. Final cuts coming down the line today. I guess it'll all be official by the end of the day. And it's go time for your fantasy draft. All the drafting activities, a great time to be alive, that is for sure. We'll cover your news and notes here at the tippy top of the program per usual, and I'll try and spin everything toward interesting developments in the world of fantasy as the final cuts do come down the line. We'll focus on the quarterbacks today as we go position by position. Yesterday was a little bit more of a big picture approach. We're going to narrow it down positionally here the rest of the week. Quarterbacks today, so I'll talk about my quarterback targets in your fantasy draft, my plan of action at the position as we outlined yesterday. Then we'll talk with our guy Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data. He is in the data mining room, basically, all off season, doing a lot of back charting, things like that. He's very involved with Fantasy Points Data. Absolute money last year, every Tuesday, early in the week too. And it's not easy early in the week on a Tuesday afternoon to give us insightful data on the upcoming week. Well, he crushed it. So since we're talking quarterbacks today, Stephen O'Rourke will talk actionable data points for the quarterbacks, for several of them, some choice selections here. We'll talk about as we head toward the 2025 campaign. These are like needle-moving tidbits, if you will, from a statistical perspective and a data perspective. Then we will close out the program. I mean, the show is called Prop Points, right? So I've stared at the board for months, quite frankly. I'm speaking in tongues, staring at the board. I get catatonic once in a while, but it all works because it comes to me, the pickage, if you will. But obviously I'm looking at the boards and concentrating, knowing about 15,000 specific items related to all these players. So it's not like I'm just going off of vibes here. So I think it's six. So, I mean, I really narrowed it down, but these are choice picks if you're looking to make some propage, some selections for the entirety of the preseason. All right. Well, without any further ado, let's get into the news and notes here again. We'll do this typically during the season, not every week, not every day during the season. Sometimes there's not a ton of information out there, but typically we try and catch people up. And, you know, if you stop paying attention to the NFL this time of the year for like 2 hours, you're like out of the loop. You don't know anything. So we will do that. And the Bengals and Trey Hendrickson have agreed on a revised contract. I actually think this is kind of good for Joe Burrow, because you do want their defense to stink. Let's be honest. They sunk last year. That's why Burrow led the world in everything: attempts, completions, yards, touch, everything. So you want them to be playing in catch-up mode, but you don't want things to unravel to the point that it gets ugly. So you do want your best defender on the field in Trey Hendrickson and your best pass rusher and all that. So he'll help make the Bengals defense somewhat respectable, maybe, but they're still going to be pretty bad on the back end. So I do like Burrow, which we'll get into. We have the Amari Cooper reunion in with the Raiders. I don't even know if Cooper played with the Vegas Raiders. I guess he did for a year or so, but he is back. And now we have Jacoby Myers requesting a trade, which is problematic for me because I've been pretty high on Jacoby Myers all year. He's not that exciting, but he's good at football. So I'm into it when you're good. And he is good. He's not just a slot guy. But given the developments here, I mean, I think I'm bailing because not only is Cooper another capable mouth to feed here, they also have Jack Besh, the rookie, and Deontay Thornton, the other rookie, a couple of very intriguing rookies who I think are going to play plenty this year. Now you got Cooper in the mix. So I think Myers is going to be on the road out of Vegas, quite frankly. So we shall see what the development is with that. But if you're doing fantasy drafts, I mean, Thornton's the guy to get. I mean, he's going to be their shot play guy, good deep threat. I mean, the statistical profile, the athletic profile is like literally all-time great with Deontay Thornton. So worth a flyer, but don't sleep on Jack Besh. He's a really good player. He's got good inside outside versatility. I watched him at that Senior Bowl this past year, passed my eyeball test. I think he's a pretty darn good player. Been a little quiet for him, but yeah, Jacoby Myers, I think, is probably on the way out in Vegas. Kenny Pickett traded to those Raiders. You know, I will admit there was a time I liked Kenny Pickett. Maybe it's because he's from New Jersey like me. But I thought he was a little bit of a baller, and I never thought he was going to be a stud. Actually, my comp was Matt Hasselbeck, which is, you know, good, but I'm not like saying he's going to be like amazing. You know what I mean? It didn't even go that well. Was he on his third team now in 2 years? I mean, this is not good. Giants also releasing Tommy Cutlets. The Joe Mixon story is obviously a real big one. Set to miss now 4 games. And, well, they're going to roll with Nick Chubb as their primary back. He doesn't look awful. He looks like he's rounding in form a little bit. I'd still, you know, because I'm an ageist, I'd still look at Woody Marks late in your drafts, like really late. Very, very good receiver. And Nick Chubb is not particularly a good receiver. Let's be honest here. And Woody Marks had a couple runs this past year where I thought he looked quite good. The Steelers have let Robert Woods go, AKA Bobby Trees, which, you know, by the way, is a nickname that this will keep me up for forever, but I'm 90% sure I invented Bobby Trees, the nickname. But there's no way of really validating it. But anywho, Bobby Trees is no longer in Pittsburgh. And I don't think we're looking at much in terms of drafting, but I will keep an eye. I mean, it's tough because I've got Calvin Austin, who I really like. You know, he's more of a rotational guy, a deep play guy. But I do also like Roman Wilson, a second-year player out of Michigan. Great dude. So keep an eye on those two dudes. But yeah. It's a little bit of a runway has been cleared for Robert Woods out. Also, the Browns have released Pierre Strong, which was a little bit of surprising. Now, that could mean that Quinshon Judkins, maybe they're preparing for him for some activity there on that front. But it also means that they're pretty firm, I guess, with Jerome Ford and the rookie Dylan Sampson. Not a backfield that I'm really investing particularly in, and also not a receiving core I'm investing heavily in as well. Deontay Johnson. Boy, where did his career go? I'll tell you where. It went right in the toilet. It's unbelievable because there was a moment there after 2-3 years in the league. I'm like, he was one of my favorite receivers in the league. The guy was getting open at will against man and zone coverage. I don't know. These are human beings. Sometimes there's other mitigating factors that have them fall off, but something's up there with Deontay Johnson. But Jerry Jeudy is really the only receiver I'd really want to consider there. I'm not even that into Njoku because, as we saw in the preseason, Harold Fannin, the rookie, will play a lot in 12 personnel, and he's pretty good. He scored a touchdown last week. The Kansas City Chiefs have waived Carson Steele, the running back. Not earth-shattering news, but I will say Kareem Hunt, he's back. Pacheco looks good, but Kareem Hunt is going to be vulturing those short touchdowns once again. I actually thought Kareem Hunt was kind of done a couple of years ago. No, he can still bring it, and certainly a pretty good offense there, and not much else going on here. Breshard Smith, the rookie, is a former receiver. He actually looked okay, but we're not ready for prime time there. So maybe last pick of the draft, Kareem Hunt, probably going to score another 6-7 touchdowns. ESPN's Adam Schefter reported about 12 hours ago that Tajay Spears is going to be headed to IR. So that's another good thing for Tony Pollard. But I would not sleep on Tajay Spears. If he can get over this ankle injury, I do believe he's really, really, really good. Also really good, and I'm surprised he got released. Could be picked up by the practice squad, but Seattle released Damian Martinez, which probably bodes very well for Kenneth Walker with a little Charbonnet behind him. But Damian Martinez out of the U is a pretty good running back. He'll get picked up very, very quickly. Jets have released Malachi Corley, very, very thin receiving core, and the Giants have released Greg Dulcich, who I thought maybe had a chance, which bodes pretty well for one Theo Johnson if you're digging deep. On the other side, we are going to talk quarterback targets for your fantasy draft. But first, the VSiN NFL betting guide is updated and ready for week number one. Inside the NFL betting guide 2.0, you'll find postseason team updates, proven betting systems, contest strategies, and host bets for opening week and beyond. Get access to this and the college football betting guide for as little as $9.99 for your first 30 days. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. Subscribe to see which subscription works best for you. And on that other side, as I promoted, Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data will join us today. We are focusing on the quarterbacks. He's got some data nuggets on Baker Mayfield, Justin Herbert, Bryce Young, Brock Purdy, and Daniel Jones. Is there any way that Stephen O'Rourke is sharing a brain with me and is actually optimistic about one Daniel Dimes? We'll find out next on the other side. This is a Tuesday edition of Prop Points on VSiN.
With the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are back with another segment here on this Tuesday edition of Prop Points. Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data. I may have kind of been a little confusing there. He's coming up in the next segment, but I am excited about all his data points on the QBs because, well, let's see, at least one of them on my – actually, maybe two of them on my list of player targets. Now, let's take a look real quick at the entire landscape at the position. As I mentioned yesterday, when I'm looking at the quarterback and, you know, my plan of action, I mean, there's really two ways to approach it. You can pay up and get an elite producer in the top five. And look, there's something to be said for that. You can get an advantage that way because, you know, recently we've had, even last year, you look at a lot of these dudes that I liked, like just Jordan Love, didn't get it done. All the other guys were Jags, basically. Your top guys, Allen, Jackson, Daniels, Hurts, Burrow, absolute money in the bank. That is why they're the consensus top five. I mean, I would love to see a ranking anywhere in the world with someone other than those five guys in the top five. But, you know, while there could be an advantage to getting a stud, I still always do worry a little bit about the cheat code guys getting hurt pretty much. You know, didn't really play into the equation much last year, but the previous 2 years, Jalen Hurts had missed a lot of time in the playoffs. Lamar had some rough patches, even Jaden Daniels. So I'm not paying up for one of those top five guys, other than maybe Burrow, because he is the cheapest one. So QB5, if I'm like totally stuck and, you know, I feel good, let's say it's late fourth round and I've got a stud running back and two great receivers, and I'm like, I don't really like anyone on the board. All right, give me Burrow. He is the odds-on favorite, once again, to lead the NFL in passing yards and touchdowns. So let's go by the betting markets that view him as the guy in terms of piling up stats. So we like that. In fantasy, of course, last year, league-leading production in attempts, completions, yards, passing yards per game, passing touchdowns. Now, he didn't do much on the ground, but he can be cheat Cody. He has a five touchdown season under his belt like 3 years ago, toting the rock. Can't count on it, but maybe three. That'd be nice. 175 rushing yards, three touchdowns. I think we can do that. The offensive line is suspect, but so is their defense, and we will see massive volume. And, oh, by the way, I like how Burrow played a ton in the preseason. I mean, no one took more reps, I don't think, in terms of a starter than Joey B. I mean, he's out there slinging it to Ja'Marr Chase. So there's no excuses this year. You can't get off to a slow start, and I think they will get off to a pretty good start. My guy Chase Brown, by the way, looks pretty darn good. Next up, we're going to go with Brock Purdy. We're going by ADP here, by the way. I do have a ranking of these guys, but let's just go by the ADP. Purdy is a QB 12 off the board. I've got him at QB 9. As we've mentioned here, I know our guy Stephen O'Rourke has some thoughts on Purdy. He does have an interesting angle that I didn't necessarily think about, but very, very good schedule. There's no doubt about it. Vegas, by the way, is projecting the Niners' opponents to rack up the fewest wins of any team, which is notable because Purdy sees a 34% boost to his fantasy points per game in wins. Granted, he probably doesn't throw a lot in those games, but he's very efficient with those throws. He was rolling with an absolutely absurd touchdown rate of 7.3 heading into last year, and that did drop. We saw some regression, 4.4, but I think we can get back up to over 6. And he did rank top 10 last year in fantasy points per dropback. He's good. He's good. 20 touchdown passes in only 15 games. Not too shabby. Here's a player that our guy, Michael Cohen, absolutely loves. I was around him at the combine a couple of years ago. Got a good vibe. I've been kind of on the fence with him, but I'm officially on board with Drake May. He is QB 15. And now I'm moving him up to QB 13. The thing that really put it over the top for me, he has been our guy Scott Barrett's top guy, and Scott never gets these wrong. But also recently, Mike Vrabel talked about using him on design runs and the like, and you love that. So they get it in that Vrabel's actually kind of into the analytics. You think of him as a big meathead defensive coach, but he's not. He's a pretty progressive guy. So they're going to have some design quarterback runs for him. And by the way, we'll get to Drake May. Did nothing last year on design runs. Nothing. So that bodes well. Because we're going to get a few of those a game, I think, going forward, assuming he continues to protect his body. And here's what I like about a young quarterback. I mentioned Kenny Pickett a couple of years ago. I was into him. Not good. Not a good call. By the way, everybody was into him that preseason by the time we got right around week one, because he had a great preseason. But we learn, well, sometimes preseason is faking us out, quite frankly. But Mike Vrabel has been talking about running them, and I love it. And I also love the schedule. Because when you're a young quarterback, like Pickett 2 years ago, I think he had a game against, I think it was Baltimore. He had a couple nasty matchups early in the year, and it just completely derailed their entire season, quite frankly. And I don't think he ever recovered. I think he was struggling with some issues with Matt Canada, but the fact is, Drake May opens with the Raiders, Dolphins. I think that's a pretty darn good schedule. Let me confirm that real quick because they got so many darn schedules here. But I did like, Raiders and at Miami. So you got Pittsburgh and then Carolina. So three of the four, pretty darn good matchups. Next up, it's Jordan Love. I have a lot more thoughts on Jordan Love that I'll get to. But, you know, he actually increased his touchdown percentage and his yards per attempt last year, which is saying something because I believe he was a shell of his 2023 self with those injuries. You know, the knee and the groin, probably compensating for the knee when he injured the groin, probably responsible for the interceptions. Matthew Golden has been solid. First time they used a first-round pick on a wide receiver in two decades. Remember Javon Walker? He was a stud, unfortunately, blew out his knee. But Jordan Love's schedule, I think, is pretty good here to open the season. Detroit and D.C. at home, nothing scary there. At Cleveland, at Dallas, bye week Cincy and at Arizona. I think that's really good. And of course, J.J. McCarthy, he is QB 19 off the board, and I have him at QB 11. I know that's gutsy. It does remind me of 2000 when I ranked Dante Culpepper. Dude had zero starts, and I had him as my QB 3, and he had 40 touchdowns. You know, the Vikings, they may be 0-4 in the Super Bowl, but they certainly know offense, and they have for decades, half a century, basically. And it will continue with J.J. McCarthy, especially with a nice schedule. You've got, you're at Chicago, Atlanta, Cincy. I'm not afraid of that at all. Then you're at Pittsburgh and at Cleveland, but the Pittsburgh game's in Dublin. I mean, it's J.J. McCarthy. McCarthy in Dublin. And then the Cleveland game is in London. So I think J.J. McCarthy is probably your best ROI guy. Like, I don't think anyone's going to return on the investment better than McCarthy. And I don't even know if it's going to be slow going early on with this pretty solid schedule. I'll also throw good old Trevor Lawrence on that list as well. I have him ranked right at his ADP at QB 21. But look, Trevor Lawrence, I was not a huge Trevor Lawrence guy coming out. He's not as good as everyone thought. Ironically, I've been kind of into him the last couple of years. Didn't work out last year. The price tag has come down significantly at QB 21. I do love Brian Thomas. Don't know about Travis Hunter. I think he'll make some plays. I just don't know if he's going to be great for fantasy as a wide receiver. But, you know, Brenton Strange is interesting. And look, Liam Cohen did a heck of a job last year. And if anyone can, you know, kind of pull up and elevate Trevor Lawrence, I think at this point it might actually be Mr. Liam Cohen. So I'm not opposed to Trevor Lawrence as a QB2. Well, we are up to another break, and we are going to be talking QBs with our guy Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data. He's got some good data points heading up to the 2025 season. But first, we ask if you need a proxy. I think I actually do. You can join the world's biggest football contests with one trip to Vegas anytime before the season starts. Trusted by thousands of players over the last 9 seasons, Winner's Circle Proxy Service helped clients win over $9.3 million the last 2 seasons. Learn more about using a trusted proxy service. Visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. 2 more segments to play around with here on this Tuesday edition of the program. We'll talk QBs and actionable data points with Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, fantasypoints.com, trying to spit out as much actionable data and insight as I possibly can. And every Tuesday, someone who absolutely helps toward that end is our guy, Stephen O'Rourke, senior film analyst at Fantasy Points. We follow him on the X machine at CallMeSteveO7, I guess, starting now. Stephen, you're going to be locked in the vault, if you will, the film room, doing some data mining. And we did give you that assignment to dig up some QB data points that are actionable, and you did. But first and foremost, how was your off season? You ready to rock and roll?
Yeah, off season's been great. I am ecstatic to be back for this year. I can't wait for the season. It feels like, I think I say this every year, but it feels like anything can happen. And, you know, it's, we're stuck with who are the good teams, who are the bad teams. And it feels like the, I don't know, the ability for any team to jump up is there. And I'm just excited to see what happens. I think it's going to be a fun year.
Yeah, they're all fun now. I think the scoring is going to be up a little bit this year. I'm feeling it. I think like look at the Chiefs. I've heard that Andy's sick of it. And he should be. I thought this last year. They're going to air that ball out. But let's start in Tampa as we go around and look at some interesting quarterback tidbits, if you will. Now, Baker Mayfield, I, number one, I was a Baker guy coming out. I falsely ranked him too high a number of years. But the last 2 years, I'm not in. And this year, I am ranking him at his ADP. So I'm not down on him. I have him at QB7. That's where he is. I think he's just a little too pricey. I am a little bit worried about Liam Cohen leaving the team. He was their play caller last year. But you've got some data on Baker that, you know, transcends maybe the loss of Liam Cohen. What do you got?
Yeah, and that's where I'm not as big of concerned with the Liam Cohen leaving. I think that Baker showed last year that he kind of took a step forward. He was first in catchable ball rate against man coverage. He was second in catchable ball rate against zone coverage. I think that transcends, you know, offensive coordinators. It just shows that he can get the ball to his guys. There's rumors that it's Mike Evans last year, which to me says, you know, if there's anything that Baker loves, it's funneling the ball to guys that he knows are on their way out or need to hit a marker or something. And I think that that's where Mike Evans has shown as he's gotten older, he's become, as he's declined a little bit physically, he's gotten to be an even better route runner. He was second in the NFL against in separation against man coverage. I think bringing in Egbuka really benefits him. I think he's a guy that, you know, can operate similarly to, I would say, like, I mean, this is lofty, but like an Amon-Ra out of the slot, where he's just going to understand coverages, he's going to understand leverage, and he's going to be able to get open consistently. And the receiving corps is only going to hopefully improve as the year goes on with, you know, Godwin coming back and then eventually McMillan coming back. I just think that it bodes well for him. And some of the defenses they face early on are, you know, pretty heavy man coverage teams, which lends to his ability to get the ball to Mike Evans and really push the ball downfield.
Hey, good for Baker Mayfield, man. Really, really turned that career around. Good actor as well, seeing him in those commercials. Let's move on to Justin Herbert. He's not a bad actor. He's doing some commercials now. But I have struggled with Justin Herbert. He's a little inconsistent. The real question, and I think you have some insight here, is will he run more? I mean, we started seeing it a little bit last year. We know Greg Roman's there. That's huge. I'm not totally convinced. I'm actually a little below the markets, but you seem to be encouraged by Justin Herbert, particularly because of the running potential.
Yeah, the running potential, I think, is big. From week 10 on, Herbert had 74% of his scramble attempts, and he was top 10 in fantasy points per dropback after week 10, which really did come from his rushing ability. He averaged 10 yards a scramble, and they started to use him a little bit more in designed runs. The receiving core, I think, improved around him. There's still some question marks, but I think Keenan Allen's a step up. I think that Trey Harris and Lambert Smith can contribute. That on top of that, Greg Roman supported a good running quarterback most of the time he's been an offensive coordinator in the NFL. I just think that they're going to lean on his athleticism to kind of work that offense. I think they're going to use a lot more design quarterback rushes. I think that with Omarion Hampton, it bolsters the run game as a whole. I just think that, yeah, I think Herbert pushes the rushing ability, which allows him to push his ADP and his value up a lot higher than if we were just relying on him on his arm. Because I do think there's inconsistencies there, but I think he makes up for that where I think he could average 40, 50 rushing yards a game this year and really like push the envelope. I think he has the athletic ability, and a lot of times he hasn't been healthy or he hasn't been pushed to run. And I think he now has the freedom to take off and go and not really question that.
Yeah. I mean, he's about the same size as Josh Allen, who's been absolutely deadly with his legs. We're talking with Stephen O'Rourke, senior film analyst at Fantasy Points Data on the X Machine at Call Me Steve O. I'm glad to see that you're also into Bryce Young. And look, hey, I'm all about pedigree. And, you know, number one pick of the draft looked horrible, but major signs of progress last year. So I'm in. I think that's a buying opportunity. And, you know, I popped in the tape of, you know, the first game in the preseason, and I thought he looked a lot like the guy who looked improved late down the stretch. So what do you have on Bryce Young?
Yeah, I think him getting benched last year was probably the best thing that could have ever happened to him, because then him coming back after that benching later in the year From week 10 on, Bryce Young was 11th in fantasy points per dropback, and this was while facing the third highest pressure rate in the NFL. In that time, his wow throw rate, which is like our, you know, highlight throw, elite type throws, he was first in the NFL with that at like 8%. And he was had the second lowest turnover worthy throw rate, only being beaten by Michael Penix in that stretch, who played, you know, like a couple of games less than him. I think Tet McMillan brings a big reliable target that Young needs. Like, I think that gives him that, you know, go to, I know I can get this guy the ball. You know, everybody has him rated highly, and I think he will contribute really well there. I liked a lot of his college film.
And I think
the offensive line is improved, and he faces some of the weaker defenses this year. You know, he gets to go against the Cardinals. I'm really low on Miami. He gets to go against Miami. I'm pretty low on Jacksonville's defense. He gets to go Jacksonville. And he gets the Falcons twice and the Saints twice. I think it lends to him being able to, you know, show off early and build on confidence and have a productive year, because he has been better at getting out of the pocket and extending plays and looking downfield, which contributed to his like upward trajectory in the wild throw rate, which I think just lends to him having a better year. I think he really can show, and I think that confidence is back. I think where we lost him that first year, beginning of last year, he lost a lot of that confidence, but I think that's back now.
Yeah, I agree. I was around him at the combine, picking up on the vibes. You know me, I'm a vibe. It seems like an amazing kid. You know what I mean? Young man, whatever. I think we're looking pretty good here. One more with Bryce Young, who, by the way, we'll talk about in a moment. Even if they trade away Adam Thielen, by the way, I'm still okay with Bryce Young on a prop that we'll talk about in the next segment. But you have Brock Purdy on your list. I don't know if we'll have time for that, because I'm going to talk about Brock Purdy in the final segment. But how about Danny Dimes? Because I've been a little bit of a Danny Dimes apologist. Granted, part of that, a lot of that, is he's been free in drafts like last year. That did not work out well. But he's once again free. I believe Shane Steichen is going to him because he believes Daniel Jones gives them the best chance to win, and Steichen's got to win. But what do you have on Danny Dimes? I like it for fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, he's going QB29 right now. So like you said, he's basically free. It's at least worthwhile to add him at the end of your bench, because Anthony Richardson in his starts, he averaged 0.6 fantasy points per dropback, which was 6th in the NFL. Daniel Jones has the rushing ability to operate the offense similar to Anthony Richardson, with a lot less injury proneness and a lot less mistakes. It might not be the big plays that you saw with Anthony Richardson, but he'll get the ball out quickly, I think, and he has a good receiving core around him. I really like Indy's receiving core. I like Josh Downs. I'm really high on A.D. Mitchell. Michael Pittman Jr., I think, is a good contributor and consistent. He gets Tyler Warren. He has Jonathan Taylor back there. I just think that, like, overall, the offense is built to, you know, give him quick, easy passes. Steichen has obviously built an offense like that around Jalen Hurts before. So, like, I don't see any reason why he can't beat up on some, you know, worse defenses at the beginning of the year and give you some it'll be highly volatile. I think he'll have some really bad games, but I think it'll be worthwhile to pick against certain defenses, you know, as we start to feel out what defenses are good and bad, that it'll be worthwhile for a spot start here and there to give you like a good, you know, 20, 25 plus point game here and there because of his rushing ability and because he has guys that can separate at a really high level, which just makes it easier to get him the ball.
That's Stephen O'Rourke, Fantasy Points Data on the X Machine at Call Me Steve O. Next week, week one, be ready with some week one data points, Steve. We need him.
Oh, I already started thinking about John. I'll have him ready to go for you.
There he is. We're back with quarterback props for the season next on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Think you're better than the experts? prove it in the Edge Boost Average Joe contest. It's the same format as the Circa Friday Football Invitational, but contestants are average Joes instead of pros. It's free to play, and you can register anytime throughout the season to still be eligible for weekly and quarterly prizes. And the grand prize, a spot in next year's 25 Pro Handicapper Circa Invitational Field. Sign up now at VSiN.com/Joe. That's VSiN.com/Joe. And I'm John. This is the final segment of Prop Points here on VSiN. Thanks for tuning in as always. By the way, stay tuned to VSiN after we sign off with Prop Points. It's Money Moves at 2 p.m. with Stormy Bonatani and Jonathan Von Tobel. Today they'll be joined by VSiN Managing Editor Adam Burke to break down the NFL Betting Guide 2.0, then followed by Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 p.m. Eastern. Then stick around for VSiN Prime Time with Tim Murray and Will Hill at 7 p.m. I do have a best bet for the season that we are going to pop out at the very end of this segment, and we're going to keep track of those, and we're going to keep track of official props that I lay out there as we do during the season, and we're not going to mention it much during the regular season. Unless we're crushing, then we might. But no, I'm going to keep track of these props here. We'll do quarterbacks today, running backs tomorrow, wide receivers on Thursday, and then we'll do tight ends on Friday, and we'll make official picks and we'll keep track of them. We'll pop out the record at the end of the year. Let's see. I've got seven of them. So let's start. And these are arranged in order of priority, preference, and all that. Number one, Jaden Daniels over 675.5 rushing yards. It's -110 over at fantasypoints.com. We have a guy that's all he does is build projections. Data scientist Chris Wecht, and he's got Daniels projected for 842. That's 26% higher. I personally last year was totally sold on Daniels, the player. I was a little worried about that thin frame, though. I mean, he looked like a cartoon. Looked like Wile E. Coyote in college, taking some nasty hits. But despite dealing with those sore ribs for about a month, he crushed this number last year at 891. He even beat the number we haven't projected for this year. Daniels led the NFL in scramble yards per game last year with 36.1. He also had a pretty healthy 3.6 fantasy points per game on designed runs. And hey, based on his 14-yard touchdown run in the preseason in a meaningless game, I don't know if my man can stop himself from taking off and running a little bit here. It's hardwired into his brain because he runs away from people. So over 675.5, feel good about that one. Next up, another quarterback rushing prop. These are kind of easy if we stay healthy. It's Drake May over 500.5. Now, the odds aren't great. It's -155. But it's pretty evident that he's going to get plenty of chances to run under Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels, even though, you know, McDaniels has not been much of a dual threat quarterback guy, of course, coaching Tom Brady. But Josh McDaniels also drafted Tim Tebow. So it's not like he's unfamiliar with quarterbacks and design runs and things like that. We are projecting him to run for 585, 17% more. It's solid. He hit 412 last year in just 12 games. But he was second in the NFL in scramble yards per game behind Daniels. So that bodes well, 31.3. However, Drake May had an absolutely miserable 0.01 fantasy points per game on designed quarterback runs. So they didn't do them, basically. I think they will this year, as long as May does a good job of protecting himself. In fact, Mike Vrabel recently talked about that. They certainly want to take advantage of his rushing ability. They want to be explosive, as every team does, and that's one way we can be explosive, because May, I mean, he's not quite as athletic as Josh Allen, but he's pretty darn good. Next up, it's my guy J.J. McCarthy. I had this one in the VSiN betting guide in July, over 36.5 regular season passing yards. That's -110. Now, over at fantasypoints.com, we are only 9% over this number, but I'm a little more bullish on the Vikings offense than probably anyone else in the world. And I do think they're going to get Thielen. I really do. I think it's happening. The Vikings are making all kinds of trades, accumulating picks. Why? Because they're looking to get a receiver. And Thielen's from Minnesota. You know, great story, undrafted receiver. And he's been great, and he can still play. Why? Because he was never fast, ever. So he didn't have any speed to lose. He's still a pretty savvy technician with unbelievable hands. Now, the Vikings have thrown for over 4,000 yards in each of Kevin O'Connell's three seasons. Their net yards per pass attempt increasing every single year. 6.2, 6.4 to 6.8. Sam Darnold, out of nowhere, threw for 43-19 in this offense. And I think it'll be a better offense with maybe a little bit more receiver, a fully healthy TJ Hockenson, and a better offensive line. Remember, they lost their stud left tackle, Darisaw, and now the number one pick at left guard is going to potentially give them an elite offensive line. Next up, I'm going to go right back to Drake May, over 3,300.5 regular season passing yards. I do think, ultimately, it might be a little slow going with Josh McDaniels, but I think he's good. Josh McDaniels is good. And Mike Vrabel, again, understands analytics and wants to be explosive. They might have the most annoying receiving core in the league, but it looks like Steph Diggs is going to contribute. And I like the draft pick, top five at left tackle there, plug and play guy, major protection issues. They might even be all right at right tackle with Morgan Moses. May threw for 189 passing per game in his 12 starts last year. Pretty confident he'll get to 220. Jordan Love over 25.5. This is a slam dunk if he stays healthy. Despite an injury plagued throwaway season last year, he actually increased his touchdown percentage from 5.5% to 5.9%. He also increased his YPA. They drafted a wideout in the first round in over 20 years in Matthew Golden. They're going to even it out and throw more this year. He's got a 5.6% touchdown rate the last two seasons. So using that as a guide, he would hit the prop on only 465 pass attempts this year. He had 579 in 17 games. So it's really just a question of availability. Next up, Bryce Young. We've been talking about Bryce Young the last couple of days. I mean, this is doable. Over 18.5 regular season touchdown passes at minus 110. We heard some good data points there from Stephen O'Rourke. Top 10 in accuracy and catchable throw rate on throws 20 yards or more downfield. Top 15 in highly accurate throw rate while targeting outside receivers per Fantasy Points data, which is notable because they drafted Tet McMillan, who looks good. So even without Thielen, let's take him off the roster, I think he is looking good here. He had a 3.9% touchdown rate last year. So all he needs to do to replicate that is throw it 490 times. That's 28.8 attempts in 17 games. He actually averaged 31.9 attempts per game last year, starting week 10. And then we'll go Brock Purdy over 23.5 touchdown passes. Purdy gets a 34% boost to his fantasy points per game in wins, and the Niners' schedule is great. Their opponents are projected to have the fewest wins in the league. He regressed to a 4.4 touchdown percentage last year, but the career rate going into last year was an absurd 7.3. I love Ricky Pearsall. I do know they're a little thin a receiver, but I do love Brock Purdy and that prop. And then we are up to the best bet, and we'll pop that out real quick. It's brought to you by GBank. GBank is built with sports bettors in mind. Right now, you can earn a $50 cashback reward bonus once you're approved and your account is open with the GBank Visa signature card. While most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when it's your own money, GBank treats them to as regular purchases. That means no cash advance fees, saving you up to 3-5% on every deposit. Plus, you'll earn 1% cash back on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions and 2% cash back on everything else you buy. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSiN.com/GBank. And the best bet is Patrick Mahomes to lead the NFL in passing yards this year, and it's a plus 900. Andy Reid is sick of it. I know the Rashee Rice situation is iffy, but with Xavier Worthy, Rice, Hollywood Brown, Kelsey, who got engaged today, I love Mahomes to bounce back. That's a show. We'll catch you tomorrow with another edition of Prop Points.